Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, as we gather, as we open the word, lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think we're at week four now. Week four. We have been discussing, for those of you who are perhaps visiting here for the first time, we've been going through a series called Created for Significance. And the last couple of chapters we've been studying, we started in chapter 14, where we began with, what was Jesus' greatest desire? We've all forgotten. He healed a man who was sick. He also informed the people, I want you to invite as many as possible to join us. Go out into the road. To those who are sick, who need healing, bring them in, because those who had already been invited, what did they do? They send it, sorry, can't make it, even though I've gotten the invitation a long, long time ago. And then Jesus also points out that we need to lead with humility. And if you also look at the first part of that chapter, it's a riff on chapter 4, where Jesus goes into the temple and basically explains his mission to bring freedom, to heal those, to bring hope. We find ourselves in the last couple of weeks then shifting into chapter 15, where there are three things that are lost. A sheep who wandered away, didn't quite know it was lost, but guess what? The shepherd. Did the shepherd leave it out? He already had 99 other sheep. No. Was convicted and went out and saved that lost sheep. We also talked about the coin. Didn't know it was lost, but the woman found that coin to be so precious. In fact, going into the evening hours, she lit a lamp and found it. And when she found it, what did she do? She rejoiced. A coin. Valuable. Didn't know it was valuable. Last week, Pastor Danny talked about a son, the prodigal, who went away into the world. He asked his dad, Dad, can I please have my inheritance early? Thus signifying that valuables were more important than his own flesh and blood. And what great cost the father had to do to reorganize their livelihood to accommodate his selfish son. We know the son went into the world, tried to live the life that he wanted to, ended up broke and penniless, feeding pigs, and all of a sudden realizing, I am at my lowest low. But you know what? Even at my house, the servants are doing better than me. And so he goes to the house, and he asks his dad, Dad, actually doesn't ask, he informs him, I have sinned. I'm no longer called your son. I've sinned against heaven. Father graciously had been waiting for him to come. The father knew he was lost, and the son eventually realized he was lost. When he comes home, his father rejoices and wraps himself around his son. He says, take the robe and put it on him, and takes the ring and he says, put this ring on my son, thus signifying that he is my own. He had been dead, but now he was alive. All of these things talk about how we are valued in Jesus. Amen? But the values of the world, are the values of the world the same as Jesus, his principles? We're going to shift gears now. We're going to go to what the world values. And what's that?
Money.
The world values money. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, chapter 16, I'm sorry. So as we're in chapter 16, the question for today is, where are you investing in your life? Where are you investing in your life? Jesus had been talking to the disciples, and now he's going to shift and he's going to talk to and basically aim his thoughts at the Pharisees. And so he says to his disciples, while the Pharisees were sneaking, listening in, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager anymore." It's interesting. So this manager, in the Greek, he's what we call an oikonomos. Everybody say oikonomos. All right. That is somebody who has been assigned to look over the house of this individual, much like how Joseph did with Potiphar. But this guy, he's not doing a good job. And in fact, it's interesting, the master, the owner, he says, "I want a rundown of everything as far as what's been happening, because you can't. You're fired." Now, normally, if there's something going on, usually you fire and then you take an accounting. But this guy wants to know what's going on. And the manager says to himself, "What shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know that I know what I'll do. So that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." And so he called each of his master's debtors. He called the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 900 gallons of olive oil. That's a lot of olive oil, amen? The manager said, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Okay, 900 to 450. And then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bill, and make it. And the master commended the manager because he'd acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Interesting. Now, the first thing I want to say is, okay, Jesus does not condone cheating others. Okay? Jesus does not condone cheating others. This is not what the point of this parable is. But we see that this manager knows. It's interesting how he actually says, he knows his job is on the line, or actually it's no longer his job. He's going to be fired. He's taken it away, and he recognizes his limitations. He's not strong enough to dig. He's not strong. He doesn't want to work outside. And he says ashamed, or you could also say, "I'm too proud to beg." So what does he do? He tries to make inroads on his master's debtors. "I'm going to cut some deals." So the first one, he takes 900 gallons of olive oil. He says, just pay 450, changes it up. The other guy, 1,000 bushels of wheat, he owed 1,000, and he said, "Make it 800, which maybe you could say is the interest. Such a benevolent, makes the master look so pious and benevolent, right? But remember, this guy is considered unrighteous. He wasn't doing it for pious sake. He was trying to save his own life, his own skin, trying to get ahead. And so, after all this is done, the master then looks back, commends him for his shrewdness. And the shrewdness is not so much good job, it's more, okay, I see what you did there. All right, well played. Because what was this guy trying to do? He was trying to act shrewdly so that he could have, if I scratch your back, you'll what? Scratch mine. In the hopes that after he's gone, he'll be able to land on his feet. Interesting. Now, what is the point of this? Well, I think what Jesus is trying to say is have wisdom, be wise and crafty, but don't use it for evil. Okay? This guy was in charge of managing the master's resources, and he didn't do a good job. It doesn't say specifically, but he could have been taking money off the top. He could have been cheating people. The master, who knows how long he'd been gone? He could have been gone for up to 6 months, maybe even a year. And everything ran through the guy, the steward of his home. He was the king of the home. He could do whatever he wanted, essentially. Wasn't managing it well. And so the manager, he did commend his ability to be shrewd. I see what you did there. But Jesus is not condoning being evil to one another. Let's continue on. Jesus says then in verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. See, so if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Is Jesus saying then we should be wise, cheat? No. What he is saying is manage your resources. Get to know other people. Secure your future, because you never know what's going to happen. But there's a difference, because in the minds of those who live in the world, they will do anything they can to make a profit, it seems. Amen? Just watch the news. How many people are found to be embezzling money, or a Ponzi scheme, or people who are looking over safety concerns all in the name of making a couple extra bucks? We outsource our economy to other countries so we can make it cheaper. Thus, the people make the profits, but we're losing jobs over here. Now, I'm not just saying that just for America, but I'm just talking about worldwide, okay? And when Jesus is talking about wealth, the Pharisees, as we'll read, they loved their money. They had a lot of it. And money, is money evil? In principle, it's in my wallet, which is not much. I think I got like $5 in there, okay? My wallet's in my office. The $5 to $20 in the grand scheme of things is not much, right? And by itself, I could go buy lunch. I could maybe get a whole meal at Olive Garden now. It's such that it's just money. But how you value that money is what makes the difference. I love cars. I would love to have a Shelby Cobra Mustang, but that's very expensive. So I'm just going to stay with my Honda Pilot. And I love the Pilot, don't get me wrong. I can put anything in there. It's amazing. I can't go back to a normal small sedan. I can't. And the fact that I have all-wheel drive, amazing. Oh, but it's only a matter of time before I have to get a new car. And I'll have to get another car after that. So manage your wealth. In fact, as it says, let's just keep going. No one can serve, how many masters? Two, nor three, four, five, ten. Either you'll hate the other one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or man, depending on the translation. You can only have one ruler in your life. And that applies to many things in your life. You can have a couple jobs, but one of them is going to win out. You can try to have multiple partners, but only one of them wants to be number one. You can't please everyone. So, how do we handle this? In fact, verse 14, the Pharisees who loved money heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's eyes." When we're so convicted on wanting to make money, and it's not wrong to make money, but how you value and what you do with your wealth is important. You could have $100 billion, but if your spouse leaves you, your children are not around, and everybody hates you, and you die a miserable death alone, have you made a real impact in the world other than making a lot of money? What do you have to do to make that money is the other question. Are you going to live with honor and integrity, or are you going to try to mess everyone over? So, God says, be wise, be shrewd, secure your futures, but that also you are going to be able to enable mission. The money that you make, use it for good. We talk about stewardship. And the truth is, before I even get there, your decisions shape your future. Being intentional about your decisions will help you to have a better life. Be intentional with the decisions that you make, because good or bad will affect your future. Jesus calls us to be diligent and faithful stewards with the resources that God has given to us, to you. What has God given to you? The jacket that's on your back, the car you drive, the food that you're going to eat, all comes from where? The Lord. We talk about the big four: time, health, gifts, spiritual gifts, and material resources. All of these things are finite. We only have so much time. We all wish we could have more time. Have enough time to be able to spend time with your kids as they grow up, because they're going to grow up so fast. When you're a child and you get older and you realize you only have a limited amount of time with your parents. Your health. You only get one body. And as much as modern science and medicine has done, you can't replace everything. So treat it well. The gifts that God has given you, the ability whether to host a family dinner, to playing music, to painting, to fixing cars, whatever it may be, God has enabled you to have these gifts to be used for the Lord. And then finally, the material resources. The home that you live in, the money that you make, everything comes from God. And so are we using all of these things to feed our ego, to feed our pride, to feed ourselves? Or are we making good, sustainable decisions for the future and also to be able to enable mission that others may know who Jesus is? So where are you investing your time and resources right now? Are you investing it in your family? Are you investing it in your job? Are you trying to be the next Elon Musk? Do you want to be a faithful disciple for Jesus? And there's many ways that that can be done. God does not hold us to be a certain way, but God can give you a richly blessed life if we're faithful. So this week, every day this week, I want you to intentionally practice one of the big four so that others may know Jesus. Either dedicate time with God. Maybe if you have some extra material resources, money or a gift or whatever, share it with others. Practice your gifts. And above all, take care of your health. It's not forever. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your good and your mercy endures forever. We often take things for granted so many times. Help us to see all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, may we not be like the unjust steward. May we be true and honest and faithful to you. Lead and guide us. And Lord, help us to be faithful in our time, our health, our spiritual gifts, and especially, Lord, what you have blessed us with in material resources. Thank you for your goodness. And help us, Lord, to be the ambassadors you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace, everyone.